All right. Recently, while having devotions, the Lord spoke to my heart about a passage of Scripture. If you'll turn, first of all, to Psalm 37, because we're going to get back to one verse there tonight that I haven't dealt with. But it ties into my devotion. I thought it was quite unique. This was last week, probably Monday of last week. And I was reading through Proverbs and chapter 16. I began reading, and it talks about the preparations of the heart. This is verse 1 in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And I thought about preparations of the heart and did a little research and found out that that was the plans that man makes in his life. And that goes to the will of God and the purpose and plan of God for our lives. And I spoke in chapel on Tuesday, a week ago, and spoke yesterday also in high school chapel again, and in RU, and I dealt with this passage of Scripture from verses 1 through 9. I'm not going to deal with those tonight. I will later. But I do want you to look at verse 9, because verse 9 is going to take us back to Psalm 37 and pick up a verse that I did not deal with in a thorough way. I want to deal with it in a more thorough way, but look at what verse 9 says. A man's heart deviseth his way. Now, the preparations of the heart up in verse 1 has to do with the way of man, the choices that he makes getting from point A to point B in his life. Notice what else it says. But the Lord directeth his steps. And I thought about how important it is for the Lord to direct our steps. And then I began to look back at Psalm 37. And though I dealt with it in the passages that we preached on, I want to go back to verse 23. It's a verse that we all hear, especially missionaries quote, or people who are really searching for the mind and will of God for their life. Notice what it says in light of the couple of messages that I've preached on God's will. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. What I want us to do is answer this question. How does the Lord direct our steps? Now, that's a good question. The Bible has the answer. I cannot say to you today that being your pastor and being your friend, being a prayer partner, I cannot dictate to you what choices you have to make pertaining your daily life. There are things and decisions that you make on a daily basis that are really none of my business. But how do we make them? How do we know we're making the right choice in any matter whatsoever? Does not make any difference, whether it be a minor thing or a major thing, whether it be a life's choice of decision, or whether it be a financial decision, or whether it be a decision about education, or geographically, what to do, when to buy, when to sell, anything. What about the purchase of an automobile? What about the purchase of new appliances? And these are small things. You say, you mean to tell me that we should be praying about these things? We should be praying about everything. That's what the Bible teaches us to do. So how does the Lord really direct a man or woman's steps? How does he really do that? How do we know that what we do is the right decision? We want God's blessings on our life. We want it to be the right decision. And so David said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Well, I think it would be good for us to really take this apart, word for word, tonight, and really see what the literal hermeneutic would be of this verse, and make an analogy of it that will fit us in our life in the 21st century. We certainly not like David. We're not living around 1000 B.C. We're certainly not in that era. We're in a totally different culture. How does it relate to us? All right, so let's start out by just taking the verse apart tonight and just doing what we would call an exegesis of the passage. The steps. The Hebrew word for steps mitzad, is not just the direction we are going, but our steps reveal the relationship, or, and if you notice, I've got in italics, companionship between us and the Lord. Because often this word, mitzad, is referring to a companionship between two people. They are in step together. These steps are vitally important. It's the direction in which we're going. So, if we're going to be going in the direction that God wants us to be going, then our spiritual feet should be pointed in that direction. Are you with me? And all God's people said, amen. So we got to be sure that our toes are pointed in the right direction. And that we have pure motive about this, and we really want God's mind, we want His will, we want Him to meet out His purpose. Dr. Bob Jones Jr. said, and I heard him say it with these ears here, if a man says he is going north, but his feet are pointed south, do not believe him. It's a good saying, isn't it? In other words, we might be saying, oh, I want God's will, but if we have our feet pointed in a wrong direction and our motive is wrong, then we're in trouble. We've got to now convince ourselves and we've got to convince others. Now we are in the lying mode as we try to jiggle things around and make everything fit and make the puzzle come together. What are steps, literally? Steps are nothing more, and here's the thought I want to leave with you about this. Our steps are simply choices that we make. That's what steps refer to. And we make them in private, and we make them in public. We make choices. Perhaps we make them in private, thinking no one sees us, but God does. Maybe we make them in private in our prayer closet, and God appreciates that. And He leads us as we pray and ask Him for direction. But there are many times that we eventually display where our feet are pointed by the choices we make that eventually get into our public life. For instance, you made a choice to be faithful to your local church tonight. Are your feet pointed in the right direction for that? Yes, it certainly is. Now, if you came here to impress me, you came for the wrong purpose. That means you might be here, but your feet are backwards. It's not about impressing the pastor. We came here because the Bible teaches us, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Do you think that there are members of our church, and you can answer this question out loud. Do you think there are members of our church that are not here, that could be here, that need this message about which way your feet are pointed? Absolutely. And as their pastor, after a while, their pattern of missing really bothers me. Because sometimes if you are not faithful, and I'm going to preach this again soon on a Sunday morning. I'm going to say these things again soon. Not this message, but I'm going to say this again on Sunday morning. How will you ever catch the real heartbeat and vision of a church if you come on Sunday morning only? You really can't catch the heartbeat. You're not here to catch it. You're not here in a business meeting to see direction and fervor and decisions. You're not here to hear key messages that every person that's a member of our church need. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but that's the idea about this matter of choices, private and public. We make them. And I want to warn you and caution all of us, be careful of the private choices that you make by your lifestyle and by your lips, or what you type, or what you tweet, or what you put on Facebook. because those choices become public knowledge in cyberspace forever. What are steps? Steps are simply choices we make in private and in public. These steps eventually show our course of life. These steps will eventually teach everyone. They will preach a stronger sermon than I will ever preach about it. Your life. It's the fifth gospel. Your life. It preaches a huge sermon. Your response in your life preaches a huge sermon. So we must realize that God does not place anything into our life for us to make a choice about, that He'll not enable us to have a right spirit about, to develop a right spirit, even if it's hard, even if it's difficult, even if it becomes a trial. God has to have a part in our life in settling our spirit and keeping us from becoming grumble snorts, murmurers, so that we can display, we're showing those are choices that we make, and we're showing which way our toes are pointed. We may say we love the Lord and we're spiritual Christians, but the decisions and choices made by our life and by our lips show different. And here is a reminder that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, not our flesh. They're ordered by the Lord. So keep that in mind. Steps are simply choices. That's really the main thrust of it. And that those choices reveal what kind of relationship we have with the Lord. Either we're going to walk close to Him and be His companion. I mean, after all, are we not to please Him? We're not to please others. We're to please Him. If we please Him, those who walk with God will be pleased. And we don't have to impress them. We just do it. We just like clockwork do it. Why? Because our toes are pointed in that direction. And we really show our companionship. We show our relationship with the Lord. If we lived in constant criticism, that's not a good relationship. That's not a good reflection of the relationship the Lord wants us to have with Him. We're to be His companion. Do we have to do hard things sometimes? Yes. Do we go through trials? Yes. Are we set back sometimes? Do we make every choice perfectly right? No. I do not make them right in my own life. I want to. But small choices, minute things, sometimes I can be a bull in the china shop. Let's go do it. Sometimes my zeal can get way ahead of my good intentions. So what do I have to do? I have to reel myself in. Because I want to show that I've got to walk with the Lord. I'm not too proud to say, hey, you're right about this issue and I'm wrong. Let's fix it. That's the right attitude. That's the right thing. So our relationship with the Lord is revealed in our choices. This all goes to one word, and that's the word step. The steps of a good man. Now I want you to notice that next phrase, of a good man. Notice, if you look in your King James there, good is in italics. And the reason it's in italics is because it's inserted. It's an inserted word by the King James translators. And it's there to help us understand, especially in the King's language, as they used it. And by the way, the King's language was a high language even in the day of 1611. Much higher language than even the jargon of the normal day. So it's a reflection of the Shakespearean. Beautiful language, and we know that. But here a word is added for us to understand. And this word, Geber, not just means a good man, but a strong man. A man that is well disciplined. He is a disciplined man. So he's just not a good man, as we would say, he's a good man because he's moral or he's ethical or he's honest, he has integrity. No, this word good in our Bible goes much further than that. When you understand that it refers to a strong man, not just a strong man, but a strong man that is well-disciplined. Now, a well-disciplined man that strong can keep his toes in the right direction, can he not? Absolutely. Do you see how these verses and these phrases stack on top of each other and strengthen one another? It's key to us understanding a simple verse that we quote so quickly off the top of our head. So the question would come to you and I, are we good in this light? In the light of the meaning of the word Geber, are we strong? Are we committed Christians? Can it be said of us that we have a disciplined Christian life? It helps our steps. If we are disciplined, then our choices are going to reveal our relationship with Him, and we're in step with Him. Matter of fact, the word picture of a good man in the Hebrew is a well-trained warrior, someone who is prepared for battle, whose focus is to carry out the orders of his commander-in-chief. His whole focus, he has been trained to obey, to go into battle and obey his commanding officer. And then his commanding officer is going to obey his commanding officer, all the way to the king, all the way to the commander-in-chief. And so here this well-trained warrior focuses on being obedient, carrying out the orders. No wonder he's in step. He must be strong. He has to be strong. If he is going to make it, he must be strong. She must be strong and disciplined to get beyond the pressure of the moment, to see a greater picture. A good man. The steps of a good man. Now let's look at the next phrase, are ordered. The Hebrew word kon means to be set firm with agenda in mind, to stand upright, to be established, in the King's English, it was used often. This word ordered is a military term. Excuse me, I'm sorry. And it has a military meaning. And it carries this idea of enduring under the pressure from the enemy. So when you are walking with the Lord, if you're in step, showing your relationship with the Lord, and you're a disciplined man, a disciplined woman, and now pressure comes, because you are disciplined, because you're a reflection of the choices that you've been making, because you have been with the Lord, then you're going to have a spirit of endurance under tremendous pressure. No one would be under any more pressure than someone on the battlefield to save his own life. And that is this word ordered. But it's not only a military term, it also has a moral meaning. After all, he is a strong person. He's a strong man. And he is directed in his life by the moral laws of God. He respects God. His steps are being ordered from the Lord. So he has a tremendous respect for the Word of God and for the moral law that God lays out in His Word. He's well disciplined. That means that he has his flesh put to death. That means he wants to be spirit controlled. That means he wants the Spirit of God to direct his life. So he yields and he confesses his sin and she gets right, and here she goes across the sea of life, maybe right into a storm, and God has prepared her or him because the law of God has meant, the word of God has meant something to them. They have promises in their heart. They have purpose. They realize that God, all things work together for good. They understand that God is in complete control. They're strong. It has a moral meaning. But not only does it have a military meaning and a moral meaning, but it has a ministry meaning also. And that is that we should be faithful to the service in which we can volunteer for. Being faithful. We have servants that are so faithful in this ministry. We just recognize some of them. Certainly not all of them, but some of them. We have a calling. We have a purpose in our life. God places us in a New Testament church for the purpose of being faithful to our service, to what we can offer. A lot of long hours this week at Cross Point. A lot of long hours. People went home bone tired. Those hours, every one, are appreciated. And they did it for the Lord. They did it for ministry. And because of that, they were faithful to their gifts, to their calling. So what have we learned? We learned that steps are simply choices that reveal our relationship and companionship with our Lord. It'll reflect whether or not we are a good man or a bad man. Either we will be well disciplined as a warrior focused so that we can move forward in our life and ministry, in the morals of life, making right choices, strengthening our homes and relationships, being a person of integrity and honesty, telling the truth, and of course, living pure. And we will have the spirit of endurance like a good soldier who will endure, as Paul said. But notice, we come now to a phrase, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Notice the word Lord is in all caps. The Hebrew name, of course, is Yahweh or Jehovah, the self-existing one. And here's the note that I want you to remember about this name. It's the proper name for the one true God, so holy that in the Hebrew language it would have been spelled without vowels. Out of respect to the holy name of our God. And when a scribe would write out the consonants, he would leave his pen and go take a bath. That's how observant they were when they wrote the name Yahweh. You see, when we really understand that we do this not for our church, not for our pastors, we do it for the Lord. He is the self-existing one. He's the one true God. Now notice, if you would, the next phrase. He delighteth. Chafetz is the Hebrew word, and it means to take great pleasure in and be delighted to please the Lord. You're delighted to do so. You don't loathe it. Oh, no. Got to go to church again. Got to teach my class again. Oh, no. Got to come to school. Got to preach in chapel. Preach last Tuesday. Preach this Tuesday. Pastor Brent just preaches me all the time. Sundays just keep coming. Every 7 days, there's a Sunday. If I looked at it that way, I'd be in the basement. No, I don't look at it that way. This is a privilege. It's a joy. Every preacher that's got preaching, he needs to be ready to do several things. Preach, pray, or die, or answer the phone. All of them are in the Bible somewhere, I'm sure. But he takes great pleasure. It's a delight. I don't get tired of doing it. Is it work? Yes. Is it people? Yes. People, that's all we've got, is people. Preacher told me one time, he says, boy, my ministry would be great if it weren't for the people. Sorry, it's all we have. It's what our calling's to, people. He delights. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who's delighting here? Who's the he? Have an English lesson. Who is delighted or who is the he? The pronoun doesn't modify the Lord, but rather the good man. It's the good man that is delighted. Remember, he's a strong Christian. His toes are pointing in the right direction. He's going in the right direction. He's strong. And he's just enjoying himself. He's having fun. Is it work? Yes. Does he get up early? Yes. Does he answer the phone at 1 a.m. and goes to the hospital? Yes. Does he come in and vacuum water out of a back hallway in the middle of the night? Yes. Stand on your feet all day and prepare a meal? Yes. Take up all the chairs and put them back down again? Yes. This is what we do. We delight. We do not do it begrudgingly. Serving champs? Yes. Serving RU? Yes. Come tomorrow, ready with your lesson plan complete, realizing that God's going to use you in the life of your students? Yes. This is what it's all about. It's the disciplined warrior that has his feet pointed in the right direction, and he's obeying from the heart. And he's taken pleasure in his steps, his course of life, those decisions made in private, those decisions made in public. He's enjoying it. He delighteth. Well, let's look at the verse again. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Derach is the word for way. It refers to a road that we travel on in our journey of life. It takes us in the will of God from point A to point B. And all in between is God's plan for our life. It's interesting. We don't have time to do it tonight. But in Proverbs 16, it talks about how man prepares his way. And even in the preparation of it, he ends up admitting, even when he's wrong in the preparation. It's an amazing passage, really. Because in the end, the Lord, even the day of evil in a disobedient man's life, even when a man stands before the great white throne judgment or a woman stands before the great white throne judgment, though it wasn't God's plan for them to reject Christ, do you realize that the will of God is being meted out even in judgment? It is. He is holy. Everything he does is right, including judgment. His way. So on this road of life, we're going from A to B. The perfect will of God, the complete will of God, as we've mentioned recently. And as we're on this road, we have a choice. Our steps, our choices, decisions we make that reflect our relationship and even companionship with the Lord will be seen, those that we make in public, those that we make in private. And it will determine, it will tell the story to others whether or not we are a strong warrior for Christ or we are a weakling in love with the world. It'll reflect that. We'll make the right choices in our life, and in so doing, we learn to stand firm. And that means if we have to endure, we will endure, and God will see us through. And victory is ours. After all, have not we read the last book? Are you with me? Victory is ours. And that's why we have an overwhelming desire to make the moral choices in life, those in private, those in public. We want to be sure that we're people of honesty. We want to be sure that we're people of integrity. We want to be sure that we handle the truth properly. We want to be sure that we're right morally. We want to be sure of all these things. Why? Because we have a ministry to be faithful to. People are looking up to us. Our steps are being ordered by the Lord, and people are seeing that our toes are pointing in the right direction. And because of that, We go from point A to point B in the will of God in everything, whether it's a dark valley or a tempest on the sea, or whether it's smooth as glass and blessings come and God is good and He answers our prayers and does a miracle, or whether He gives us the grace to suffer. After all, that is part of the will of God for our life. And on the way from A to B and B to C and C to D and on every way, all along the way. So what about your ways? Does your ways please the Lord? How do those who look at you, do they see you as a person who pleases the Lord to the point to where they can't even complain about you? Because of your attitude and spirit? It's put this way in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies are at peace with him. Wow. I didn't like this. Wives, maybe your husband made a decision and you didn't like that decision. Hold on to your horses. You'll not stand at the judgment with that decision. He will. It might be a wrong decision. He may have to learn a lesson. Or it could be a right decision, and then you'll have egg on your face if you spend all your life complaining about it. It's which way are your toes pointed? Did you have your devotions this morning? Are you a strong warrior? Or are you a weakling who wants your way? See, these are thoughts that spring out of this passage of Scripture so clearly. So let's do an analysis of the verse. 21st century analysis for you and I. Here's a hermeneutical thought, trying to keep everything in line. I sat at my desk and wrote this. Our choices should reflect those of a well-trained warrior. Our desire should be to obey our commanding officer, Jehovah God. We should take a biblical stance, and our lifestyle should reflect our faithfulness and our duties, to our duties. We should take great pleasure in doing so and enjoy our life, even in adversity. That's a simple thought, but I'll tell you something. I've had trouble living that way sometimes. I must confess to you. And when I struggle, it's usually because my toes aren't pointed in the right direction. And I have to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I don't want my steps to be ordered by me. I want my steps to be ordered by you. I don't want it to be about my side and my view. I want it to be about your side, your view. I want to be able to yield. I want to be able to submit. That I will obey and be in my place where I fit in my family, in my church, at work, with the government. I want to be in my place. I want to be the fit that you want me to be. And I want to take great pleasure in going from A to B. And if you give me trials from A to B, I know that you can make the rough places smooth. I'm going to trust you to do that. I'll trust you to calm the sea. I'll trust you to get me out of the valley. I'll trust you to get me through the darkness and despair. I trust you with all that because the steps of a good man, a strong warrior for his God, is ordered not by himself, but by the Lord, who is the self-existing one, the true and only holy God, who has our best interest in hand all the time. All the time. He has our best interest in hand. Every hair on our head is numbered. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. So we come and say, Dear Heavenly Father, oh, how we need bread today from you. And he comes and gives you bread. He'll not give you a stone. He loves you. He'll give you exactly what you'll need to get through that day. And tomorrow will be another day. And you'll be faced with your challenges and you'll be faced with people. And you'll have to keep your toes pointed in the right direction. You see, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And that good man delights in the way in which God has from A to B. He delights in that way. He's having fun doing it. He's enjoying it. He realizes that God is in it all. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Which way are your toes pointing tonight? Would you stand with me, please?